On board with me this morning, as we speak, is Dr. Carl Kaltenthaler. Dr. Kaltenthaler is a director of the Michael J. Morrell Center for Intelligence and Security Studies. He's a professor fellow at the Ray Bliss Institute for Applied Politics. He's a professor of political science, and he joins us from time to time with great insight here on the morning show. And Carl, I was doing some reading last weekend, and that's why I reached out to you on specific EU countries that their concern level has certainly been raised. They've raised their defense dollars because they are very fearful of an invasion from the east, and they also have concerns about the United States now all of a sudden relationship with Russia, that the United States could be teaming up with Russia. So that's very interesting read that I took in over the weekend. And I was wondering if you've heard or seen some of the same type of things. And what are you hearing coming out of the EU in regards to their concerns?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on the show again. Really enjoy being here. There's a sea change, as we call it, going on in European strategic thinking now. The threat from Russia has only grown. That's been concerning since the invasion of Ukraine. The Europeans are absolutely convinced that Russia is a significant threat to their security. But, you know, now they don't really think the United States has got their back anymore the way it used to. And they're increasingly convinced that if Russia was to invade one of the NATO countries, the United States wouldn't come to their aid, even though the United States is obligated by treaty to come to the aid of a NATO country if it's attacked. So, you know, they don't depend on NATO anymore. And they think, okay, we have to figure out how we can fend for our own security. So some countries are thinking about developing nuclear weapons. Poland is thinking about developing nuclear weapons. Even Germany, which had always said, no way, we'll never develop a nuclear weapon, you know, because of the historical reasons from World War II, is now pondering it. It's not like it's as far as ahead of an idea as it is in Poland, but, you know, Germany has to worry about its defense, and Germany has a lot to catch up on because Germany's really not spent a lot of money or done a lot to really defend itself since the end of World War II because it depended on the American security guarantee and it depended on the American what we call nuclear umbrella. So the idea is if, you know, one of these NATO countries like Germany was attacked by the Soviet Union and then Russia, that the American nuclear umbrella would first act as a deterrent, you know, keep the Soviets or the Russians away. But if that failed, then the nuclear umbrella could be used to actually defend the territory. And now what you hear in Europe is we no longer can count on the American nuclear umbrella. And this is spreading into Asia as well. So this is not just a European issue. This is also an Asian issue. Not to get off topic, but the South Koreans, the Japanese, they're asking the same exact question.
With us this morning is Dr. Carl Kaltenthaler from the University of Akron. So, Carl, some of this kind of makes sense, what President Trump is trying to say. Don't necessarily agree the way he is doing it, but I understand the methodology where some of those EU countries have had low health care and some of these other things, but they haven't had much in their defense budget, depending on the United States to basically be their backup. Not that we shouldn't be, because for so many, many years, we've been the police of the world and people have leaned on us being a big part of NATO and such. So is there a balance maybe that you could foresee happening where the United States still wants to be, quote, in bed with EU countries, but also the EU agreeing to up their defense systems a little bit?
Yeah, I think that's certainly an option. It could go that way. You know, maybe Trump is just trying to scare them into spending more on their defense, getting serious about it. It's certainly the case that some of the countries have done very little to build up their own security capabilities, Germany being probably the biggest example of this. But one of the things you have to think about is that the United States was never really that concerned about it for a couple of reasons. One, the thought of a big rearmed Germany was pretty frightening in Europe. Mm-hmm. And so the United States said, well, in order to keep the stability in Europe, we'll allow Germany to be, not a very well-armed country. We'll really defend Germany and keep the stability, keep the peace in Europe. We don't want European countries fearing each other the way they did in the run-up to World War I or World War II. So that was part of the thinking. This was never done out of the United States being, you know, this country that said, well, we'll do it for you. You don't have to worry just because we're nice. You know, this was always based on some kind of calculation or strategic vision that this is the best way to go. And then that thinking has now changed in the Trump administration, where there seems to be less concern about, okay, what happens if Germany rearms substantially? You know, does that create security tensions in Europe? Do the French and the Germans go after each other again? You know, we think maybe that, well, that was the past, right? That was World War II. It'll never, ever happen again. Now, these histories, they persist in these countries. And, you know, there is still concern in Europe about a very big, really strongly armed Germany. It wouldn't be just the French. It would be the Poles. It would be other countries who have a bad history with Germany, who really wouldn't be too happy about a big nuclear-armed Germany. So, you know, sometimes you have to be careful what you wish for, right?
Yeah.
You know, we want our allies to be more well-armed, but, you know, that it doesn't come necessarily without a price.
With us is Dr. Carl Kalpenthaler from the University of Akron. And then when you look at Russia just last night launching more missiles into the Ukraine, when the United States / Donald Trump thought they might be getting close to some sort of agreement, that doesn't look like that is happening. And you mentioned Poland, Carl, and they are next in line. And I was reading just yesterday, really fearful when you talk about Poland, about an invasion next from Russia, that they would be next.
Yeah, absolutely, because Russia has said that part of Poland actually belongs to Russia. So, you know, the Russians have territorial claims on part of Poland. You know, you also have to think about history here again. The Germans and the Russians, at that time the Soviets, in 1939, they basically divvied up Poland. So, you know, we remember that Germany invaded Poland and started World War II. But what a lot of people don't realize is that the Russians also invaded Poland. So basically, the Germans took the western half and the Russians took the eastern half of Poland. So from the Polish perspective, when Russia talks about reclaiming territory that's really rightfully Russian, that makes the Poles very, very concerned. So that's why they have, you know, they're on track to become the biggest army in Europe, and they're talking about developing nuclear weapons.
Carl, the one thing also, I use the word unpredictable, and I'm sure you've seen this, and I want you to expand on how the European countries are looking at the United States, and that's kind of their fear, because they've heard coming from us that we want Canada, that we want Greenland. We want the Gulf of America now. We want the Panama Canal. So they're seeing a more aggressive United States. So that raises the concern level, at least some of the things that I've read coming out of Europe.
There's lots of reasons why the Europeans are very concerned about us. I mean, those things that you just mentioned are obviously very concerning. To them, this means the United States is not the United States they've been dealing with since 1945. This is a whole new United States. The other thing is that they've been lectured by the Trump administration about their values. They've been lectured about their values in a pretty aggressive way, in a way that Trump and J.D. Vance have not lectured the Russians or the Hungarians or these other countries, which are, you know, kind of nominally democracies, but not really functioning democracies. So it looks to a degree like the Trump administration has sided with the very far right in Europe, which is authoritarian and which is really not that interested in democracy. So there's several things going on here. There seems to be now a big values gulf between Europe and the United States. There's the behavior, at least at this point, rhetorical behavior of the United States, saying that they want to expand substantially and take over friendly countries. And then there's the talk about the United States disengaging from Europe. So for the Europeans, this is a nightmare. You know, they don't want this at all. This is something that means that they now look at the United States not only as a fair weather friend, but as a potential threat.
Yeah, I think that's well put, Carl. And I think those are some of the things that I've been reading as well. And I think he said it best there. It's a different looking United States that the EU has worked with since the mid-1940s, for sure. Carl, thanks for getting up with us. Great insight this morning. Again, my friend, always appreciate your time.
My pleasure.